Are you experiencing muscle aches, pain, or joint stiffness? This may not only be applicable to your patients in review of systems, but also may be applicable to us as practicing dermatologists. In our next dialogue, Dr. Christine Liang and Dr. Gary Bronner discuss some of the hazards of work-related injuries and how we can avoid them through the science of ergonomics.
I have the pleasure today of speaking with Dr. Christine Liang, who is clinical instructor and associate physician at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, which is part of the Harvard Medical School complex. And we're going to be talking about something that for me is unusual as an interview subject, because it deals really mostly with practice management as well as with safety in the office. And that's the topic of ergonomics. Christine, can you tell me a little bit and let our listeners understand a little bit about what is meant by ergonomics in the workplace?
Absolutely, and thank you for having me here. So ergonomics is defined as the science of fitting the job to the worker. It basically helps worker adapt to their physical environments and the job responsibilities that they have. When there's a mismatch between the physical requirements of the job and the physical capacity of the worker, that can lead to injury and musculoskeletal disorders. So the whole science of ergonomics is basically looking at ways to decrease this risk of musculoskeletal disorder and finding ways to overcome them should they occur.
Is this something that's basically for the convenience of the workers and the convenience of the owner, or in this case, the physician?
So ergonomics deals with two parts. One part is the physical space that you're working in, the equipment that you have, the positioning of the computers, the table height, size of the rooms, and safety issues. The second part of ergonomics actually deals with the worker themselves and how they position themselves and how they move within a space to perform the tasks that they need to. So there are the two parts of ergonomics, and making ergonomic modifications means both changing your work style behavior, the way that you perform your tasks, and also changing the workspace that you're in, the physical equipment and design of your office space.
Now, are you just talking about something just to make the workers in the office feel more comfortable and more cozy, and the doctor to feel better at the end of the day? Or is this a real problem? Are there data, national data, that show that there's actually lost productivity, real problems that are occurring because of this scenario?
So staff productivity and morale definitely declines if they're experiencing pain that's worsened by work activity. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that 32% of missed days from work were due to overexertion and repetitive use injuries. And OSHA states that businesses spend $170 billion a year on occupational injury or illness costs. They've also done cost analyses where they've looked at whether or not making ergonomic changes does reduce this cost, and they have found that it does reduce costs to businesses if they implement ergonomic changes. So it certainly is a real decrease in productivity and a cost to businesses, but not only that, making ergonomic changes and making workers more comfortable does increase productivity. It allows people to have higher morale, get more work done, and overall just feel better at the end of the day. So there's both this morale component and a real revenue and financial component to this.
So let's discuss this in terms of two categories, the boss and the workers. Let's start with the workers. What kinds of techniques can one use in a physician's office, particularly a dermatology office, to avoid injury to the workers, to the people helping you, the nurses, the secretarial staff? What kinds of physical structural changes should one look for or try to make and adjustments to try to keep these injuries from occurring?
For your office staff, more and more time is being spent on computers these days, and computer injuries are one of the biggest problems in ergonomics. So when you're setting up your office and your workspace, particularly your computer workspace, if there are multiple people working at a workstation, the most important thing is to make sure that you are getting equipment that's adjustable. Fixed computer monitors and fixed chairs do not work when multiple people are sharing a station because they can't adjust them to themselves. So you want to make sure
unless you hire people all the same height.
Exactly.
Same weight,
that's
right.
Another option. But otherwise, you would want to obtain computer monitors that are on an adjustable stand so that the worker can adjust the height. Chairs are very important. There are ergonomic chairs that are available, and these have movement in many directions, they can adjust the height of the seat pan itself can actually tilt. And that's an important ergonomic position where you actually don't want your hips to be lower than your knees, but actually your hips and knees to be parallel or your hips slightly higher than your knee position. The armrest should be available, and the armrest should be movable in height and in width. And finally, the keyboard tray should be ergonomic, meaning that it's adjustable with an adjustable mouse pad. And that's because the worker doesn't want their wrist to be flexed in any way or extended, but you want your wrist to be exactly straight with your elbows and the keyboard. So those are some basic things about computer stations that should be available to the worker. The other thing is actually glare from the computer screens can cause a lot of eye fatigue. So a lot of computer screens can be fitted with anti-glare screens, and the lighting in the office should be very even, should be light enough so that the worker isn't squinting in any way or casting shadows on their workspace so that they can do their work.
When one goes shopping for this kind of equipment, is it fairly legitimately represented when something is called an ergonomic chair? Are those mostly really ergonomic, or is this just a marketing ploy and you might purchase something that really is worthless?
That's a very good question. And basically anyone can market something as ergonomic. And there are things, unfortunately, that are marketed as ergonomic, which may not be. For any kind of equipment, you want to have something that has a trial period that you can return if it's not working out. The other thing that's important about ergonomic equipment is actually that you and the workers are instructed on how to use them. There's no purpose in having a piece of ergonomic equipment when you don't know how to use them. And there are actually certified professional ergonomists who can come into the office and do an evaluation and can help you with your positioning. So I called them up and they came to my office and did an evaluation. They observed me while I was doing surgery, while I was at my office space, and even though I had all the ergonomic equipment for my computer setup, I actually wasn't using it properly. In about 30 seconds, they modified my whole positioning, including my computer screen, my keyboard, and they completely changed the position of my chair in a way that I didn't even know that the chair was able to move. So there are definitely two parts to getting ergonomic equipment. One is just getting it, and the second part is being instructed on how to use it.
So it's possible that if large hospitals have this, that even if people are in private practice, they may be able to engage those people or privately to help them in their offices to do this. So
yes.
There are mechanisms of doing that.
Yes.
Let's diverge a little bit for a moment to talk about the physician now. Let's talk about us, be a little bit selfish, particularly those of us who practice a lot of dermatologic surgery as well as medical dermatology. When I teach my fellows and residents, because I teach derm surgery, I always tell them that there's a first rule of medicine, first do no harm, and there's a first rule of dermatologic surgery. And the first rule of dermatologic surgery is the surgeon has to make himself or herself comfortable. So you can't do good surgery without being comfortable. So let's talk about the comfortable surgeon and how the physician in the office is supposed to comport him or herself with respect to the equipment they use. Has this been shown to be a problem? You've talked about workers doing this. Unless physicians have a lot of problem now typing in everything for their electronic health records, and I guess that's going to be a problem soon. What problems have been shown in dermatology?
The literature on ergonomics in dermatology is scant. There was a 2007 study of 17 Mohs surgeons from the Mayo Clinic that showed that these injuries are highly prevalent. And from this, we actually decided to perform a larger scale study where we surveyed the entire Mohs College for injuries and whether or not they were using ergonomic practices and what work style factors might be influencing these injuries. So when we did this study, we had a 43% response rate, and we were very surprised to find that 90% of respondents actually reported some kind of musculoskeletal disorder. The most common areas of pain were the neck, the shoulders, upper back, and lower back. So clearly this is a significant problem among Mohs surgeons.
So they're not complaining to their staff, they're not complaining to each other, but they admitted that these things were occurring.
They did. And this pain started very early on. We thought that perhaps as years of practice went on that the pain would increase. But in fact, 50% of those that developed pain developed it within the first 5 years. And this pain stayed steady throughout the careers of Mohs surgeons. So we know that positioning is very important from the beginning and that it's a real problem.
Is this just something that they complained about on the survey just to make it look good? or were they really symptomatic so they required medication for this discomfort?
So the good thing is the majority of the pain was described as mild or discomforting. However, about 20% of respondents did describe the pain as actually distressing, intense, or excruciating. A small percentage of surgeons were actually prevented from performing their ADLs due to this pain. Many of the physicians actually reported being diagnosed with injuries that included tendonitis in 10% of respondents, epicondylitis, carpal tunnel in 7%, frozen shoulder, 5% reported a herniated disc. So it really was not just complaining, but true medical issues. 45% of the respondents stated that they had actually received medical treatment for the pain. 63% stated that it was aggravated by daily work, and 59% have increased discomfort at the end of the day.
Did the survey include adjustments that these surgeons had made in their offices or to their style of operating to try to prevent this pain from recurring?
We looked at different operating factors, such as whether or not people were operating standing versus sitting, and whether or not that contributed to less pain. If people that did less cases had less pain, we looked at demographic factors such as BMI, height, to see if that was an issue. And we also looked to see if people were using ergonomic equipment, such as anti-fatigue floor mats, sit-stand stools, stools with sternal support, ergonomic microscopes. And interestingly, very few people were actually using ergonomic equipment. So well less than 30% were using any kind of ergonomic equipment. And when we looked at why people weren't using ergonomic equipment, the vast majority stated that it was because they weren't aware of ergonomics, and that cost was only an issue in 8% of respondents.
They had the pain and didn't really know what to do about it.
Exactly. Unfortunately, ergonomics is just not something that's been talked about in dermatology, and there hasn't been much reported on it. And even though 90% of people were responding that they had pain, it's just not been much in the literature, in the dermatologic literature.
Christine, did you find that there was a difference between male and female Mohs surgeons in your survey in terms of their response rate and their complaints about significant pain? Or was this the same for both groups, particularly since we have more women coming into dermatology now than ever before?
Interestingly, we found that females have significantly more pain than males, and this was the only demographic factor that was statistically significant, even when we looked at BMI, height, work style, number of cases per day. None of those seemed to be an important risk factor, but females did report more pain, and that is consistent with other studies in dentistry, in other medical fields, that females have reported more pain, and there may be several reasons to this. When females do the same repetitive tasks, they are actually using a higher relative muscle activity. And there may be other biological factors, but this is important since now the dermatologic work field is increasingly women.
So they're not following Dr. Bronner's rule either. They're not making themselves comfortable before they start either.
We actually looked at work style attitudes among surgeons, and we found that 90% of them admitted to putting a lot of pressure on themselves to get the work done that they needed to, and that the majority of them work through the pain, knowing that they have pain, in order to get the work done for the
day. A lot of surgeons will put music on to make themselves more comfortable, but they're not positioning themselves properly, is what you're saying, basically.
That's
right. To keep themselves comfortable.
Exactly.
That's interesting. What about other non-Mohs dermatology procedures that people who aren't standing doing Mohs for hours may find is a problem for them?
Well, dermatologists do perform a lot of procedures that are repetitive, that can cause repetitive use injuries. Even examining patients, positioning them on a table, doing biopsies, doing this multiple times a day can put a lot of strain on the body. The dermatologists hold a lot of static postures, awkward postures, bending over the patient to see a mole or to do a biopsy. And a lot of times, at least I find when I'm working with the residents, that there's such a need for speed that doctors don't take the time to position the patient properly in order to maybe save a little bit of time. But the ultimate result is that they repetitively bend over in awkward ways that are going to cause them injury.
Okay. Can you summarize your checklist for our listeners as to what they should be doing, obviously, so that all this 10% of people, at least, don't have significant pain, and the other 90% don't have even moderate pain. So at the end of the day, they're tired from working hard seeing patients, but not tired because of mistakes they've made and how they position themselves.
So some of the most simple ergonomic behavior modifications that dermatologists can make are avoiding static postures. That means avoiding staying perfectly still. Being perfectly still actually puts a lot of strain on the body. You want to be moving, you want to be repositioning your feet when possible. Sometimes we're so involved in a procedure that our feet, our entire body is absolutely just fixed in that position. And that's very, very stressful on the joints, the muscles, and can lead to injury. So anything you can do to just make even little adjustments in your body are important. Alternating between standing and sitting has been shown to be helpful. So when you can, when you're examining the limbs or operating on an arm or something that you can actually sit down for, take the time to sit down and take the time to stand up when you need to. Positioning patients at the proper height is one of the most common mistakes that dermatologists make. Ideally, the most important thing is you want the patient to be on the table as close to you as possible. So they shouldn't be necessarily in the center of the bed, but if you're operating on them, scooch them over so that they are all the way to the edge of the bed that you are working on. When you can position yourself close to the head with a small headrest, that would be ideal. And then the height of the table should actually be such that your forearms are about parallel to the floor. So if you position the table too high, you start to get too much shoulder abduction and you can put a lot of strain on your shoulders.
When I teach my dermatologic surgery, and I teach mostly cosmetic dermatologic surgery, that means people are doing a lot of stuff on the face, I always make sure that the residents and fellows elevate the patients if they've got an elevatable table so that they end up working on the patient at shoulder height. I think it's less fatiguing if people are not lifting their arms up when they're doing the procedures, nor bending over and pushing their arms down. If they just get the patient so that everything that they're doing is at pretty much at shoulder height, that they end up a lot less fatigued and they do that stuff more carefully. Do you have any other thoughts on that too?
Yes, neck flexion is another thing that is very involved with table height. And if the table is too low, then you end up craning your neck over, hunching your shoulders over, and that can be a real problem. And the neck was the most reported area of pain among Mohs surgeons. So one of the tricks that has been reported in the dental literature that's very helpful is actually using loops. Loops magnify the field that you're working on, and they are also tilted at a 20-degree angle. So that reduces the amount that your neck has to bend over. So if you're doing a lot of surgery, I highly recommend using loops.
Yeah, even with loops, though, you have to be very careful as to what the magnification is, because with them, as the magnification goes up, your focal distance comes down. And so you end up pushing your head very much closer to the patient if you use high magnification loops, and that may increase some bending as well.
That's true. We recommend 2 to 2.5 times magnification and making sure that you've got it adjusted so that you're at the proper work height. The other thing that you can do is actually take frequent breaks and stretching. They've shown that just taking 30-second micro breaks for people that work at computers for long periods of time significantly improves the productivity that they have and decreases the amount of pain. So when you're performing a procedure and there is a moment if your assistant is blotting or holding pressure, you may want to take that time to look up, stretch, do a little bit of reverse posture where you're making sure that your shoulders are back and that your neck is straightened.
So you're not recommending midday yoga for dermatology offices?
For people that have more pain, it's actually not a bad idea during their lunch break to do some yoga stretches. But as far as a practical amount during the workday, micro breaks are valuable.
Seriously, how often would you suggest that these micro breaks when they start feeling symptomatic?
They actually recommend doing a micro break every 30 minutes to 1 hour. And of course, if you are feeling more pain, then definitely take the time to do a reverse stretch to loosen up that muscle.
Okay, do you have any other summary comments for our listeners so that they can make themselves more comfortable?
I think the main take-home point from this is to be aware that there are ergonomic modifications that you can make in your office which do make an impact on your day-to-day pain and productivity, and that these accumulated injuries to the muscle can really cause a significant injury if it's left unattended to both yourself and to your work staff. So I would say that it's a worthwhile investment to make ergonomic modifications to your workspace, and to learn how to position yourself in a way that reduces the risk of injury. Making sure that you are alternating the positions that you're in, getting the patient up to the right height, making sure that you're not bending or twisting unnaturally as much as possible is going to make a big difference down the road.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ergonomics, or the study of fitting the job to the worker, entails altering the work environment and tasks to the capability of the employee. When a discrepancy exists between these requirements of work and the employee, injuries can ensue, namely musculoskeletal issues. In addition to the personal health issues, the economic repercussions of occupational injury cost businesses $170 billion a year. In 2007, a survey of Mohs surgeons found that 94% of survey respondents experienced symptoms exacerbated by surgery, including stiffness and pain of the neck, shoulders, and lower back and headaches. Analysis of these surgeons found that ergonomic issues existed with OR setup, awkward postures, poor positioning, length of procedures, and lighting. A similar survey of Mohs surgeons conducted in 2010 found that 90% of respondents experienced musculoskeletal symptoms or injuries. Again, the neck, shoulders, lower and upper back were the most commonly affected areas. These injuries were attributed to lack of ergonomic modifications within the surgeon's practice and were seen to start early in one's career, at an average age of 35. Recommendations from these studies included altering footwear, flooring, operating position, lighting, and table height. Other surgical subspecialties report similar incidents of musculoskeletal pain, including ENT and GYN. A common theme among specialties is a lack of awareness and/or implementation of ergonomic principles. The OR is not the only place where ergonomic practices should be recognized and instituted. With increasing utilization of electronic medical records, time spent sitting in front of a computer increases. Several interventions have been investigated to help reduce workplace injury. A meta-analysis found a trend supporting chair interventions to help reduce musculoskeletal symptoms, specifically with attention to seat height and seat pan depth to match the anthropometrics of the user. Other analyses, such as the use of an alternative or split keyboard or alternative mouse, did not illustrate a reduction in musculoskeletal discomfort. However, having ergonomic equipment does not always translate into its proper usage. Ergonomic professionals and resources such as the OSHA website on healthcare-wide hazards can be employed to optimize ergonomic interventions. Attention to these practices can improve our day-to-day comfort and potentially our career longevity.